Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
And it's so appropriate for us to sing Open the Eyes of My Heart as we get into God's Word, because I absolutely agree with Mark. He's going to answer that prayer today. The question that I want to kind of ask is, do you even want that prayer to be answered? Because sometimes the answer he gives, the revelation he gives, can be uncomfortable, or it can be difficult, or it can call us into something that we resist up against. And today we're going to be talking about this idea of resisting the Holy Spirit. We've been in this message series for this month focused on mental health called It's Fine, I'm Fine. And I want us to go from just being fine, just being okay, to being passionate, being excited, being joyful, being secure and confident followers of Jesus. Is that what describes your walk with Jesus today? Or are you in that place where you're just saying, no, it's fine, and I'm okay, and covering yourself up with whatever shame, whatever guilt, whatever thing that is happening, where you're like, I'm not ready to be that on fire follower of Jesus. I just want to kind of have a lukewarm, kind of comfortable faith. And I'm saying to us today, let's get out of this to being passionate, excited, joyful, secure, and confident followers of Jesus. There's two characters in the Bible that I want us to kind of compare today. Who was a good example of someone not secure, kind of just going through motions, and someone who was like, yeah, I'm on fire, right? We're going to start with King Saul. King Saul was a king in the Old Testament. He was the very first king of Israel. Back in those days, Israel had no king. They had judges ruling over them. And then one day, the people of Israel say to the prophet Samuel, you know what? It's about time we had a king, right? Like all the other nations around us, they've got a king, so we want a king too. And this was something that God didn't really want for his people, because ultimately he was to be their king, right? But God says, fine, you know what? I'll let you have this. We'll see how this goes. And we know from examining the whole breadth of Scripture in the Old Testament, all of the kings, it didn't turn out so well. And especially with King Saul, it didn't work out so well with him either. And he was the very first one. You see, King Saul was someone who fought the Holy Spirit. King Saul was someone who resisted God's calling on his life. He did not measure up to the standards that God had set forth for kings to follow. King Saul was filled with pride. He was filled with fear. He was filled with anxiety. At one certain point in his life, he disobeys the prophet Samuel. Samuel says, hey, look, you're about to go into battle, and before you do that, I need to come and present a sacrifice to God. And King Saul's like, well, all right, I'll wait around, I guess. And Samuel is taking his time and not showing up, and Saul's like, you know what, forget it. I'm going to just do this myself, and totally disobeys Samuel, does the sacrifice himself, and Samuel's like, you dummy, what do you think you're doing? This is not the plan. And so King Saul, he was just someone who was so sporadic and chaotic. He was just doing things his own way. He was leading his own way. He was not following God's plans. He made all these unwise decisions, particularly with his military moves. And ultimately, he died. And you see, all of King Saul's mistakes and resistance towards God can all be summarized in these verses found in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 22 to 28. If you got your Bible, why don't you open up to that right now? And we'll just look at what it is that Samuel says to Saul, like, hey man, this is the conclusion for your kingship. This is how it's going to go. This is as a result of your unwise decisions. This is a result of your resistance to God. 1 Samuel 15, verses 22 to 28. It says, but Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Then Saul said to Samuel, I've sinned, I've violated the Lord's command and your instructions. I was afraid of the people, and so I gave in to them. And now I beg you, forgive my sin and come back with me so I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said to him, I will not go back with you. You have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you as king over Israel. As Samuel turned to leave, Saul caught hold of the hem of his robe, and it tore. Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to one of your neighbors, to one better than you. And so there's some real permanence and there's some real consequences here with Saul's decisions, with Saul's constant resistance of God, that there's really no redemption for you here, Saul. It's like you've really messed up. You've resisted for so long that you don't get to be king anymore. Like, I'm stripping you of all your royalty, all your privilege, all your title, all of it, and I'm giving it to someone else. Now, this wouldn't be so bad because he's going to get to continue living for a little bit, but the big implication here, too, is not only do you not get to be king anymore, the kingship is not going to go through your bloodline anymore. Your sons do not get to be king. Their sons don't get to be king. Your line is done. It's going to be someone else's family. It's going to go through that line. And that would ultimately be King David, who comes later and ends up replacing King Saul. And so there's some real consequences here that go beyond just being removed from his position of authority. He has cost his family any future positions of authority by resisting the Holy Spirit. Now, after Samuel says all this, Saul goes through some other experiences. He's tormented by a troubling spirit. David comes along and plays some music for him to try and calm him down, but then Saul retaliates and gets mad and tries to kill David, and he goes on the chase, and he tries to murder David over and over again, and then finally Saul's life ends with him killed in battle by his own sword. And so we can examine the life of King Saul and just go, that's a horrible example of what it means to be a follower of God. Because at no point did he submit. At no point did he surrender to God's calling and plan. He was like, hey, I'm king now. I get to be the boss and I get to do it my way. And that did not go well for him. Let's contrast him with another king, the King of Kings, Jesus. Jesus, on the other hand, is a spiritual champion. He is someone who is in complete surrender to God. He faced in the desert temptation from Satan and faced him directly for 40 days. There was no food, there was no water, he was with all the wild animals, and yet he didn't sin. Jesus, on numerous occasions, comes up against people who are demon-possessed, and rather than running away scared of, oh my goodness, someone's demon-possessed, even a legion of them, he casts them out by the power of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus faced death on the cross, people tried to tell him, hey, why don't you abandon this plan of salvation? Why don't you remove yourself from the cross? Remove yourself down from there, Jesus, if you really are the Son of God. And he didn't do it. He submitted to the will of the Father. He faced other death, people like Lazarus and people like the 12-year-old girl. And rather than going, well, nothing to do here, he brought them back to life. You see, he was Lord over life and death. And so what we see in the life of Jesus is a life, yes, he's the Son of God, but he leads as an example for us of what it looks like to be in complete submission and surrender to God. When we look at King Saul, on the other hand, we see complete resistance and a terrible downfall. And so this is what the key point here today is, that we need to understand from the life of King Saul how we compare it to Jesus. That resisting the Holy Spirit will cause darkness to consume you from the inside out. Resisting the Spirit will cause darkness to consume you from the inside out. This is exactly what goes on with King Saul. It's kind of this gradual progression where he just does not submit. Every time there's a moment where he could make the right decision, he doesn't. And so little by little, the enemy takes over his heart, and he is filled with darkness, and it consumes him from the inside out, where his whole life, he's now in complete resistance of God, and it consumes him from the inside out. How many of us in the room are maybe Star Trek fans? Any Star Trek fans? Okay, a few of you. Like, that's like before my time. So I was never truly a fan. Like, obviously Star Wars was better. But from what I know from my dad, because he was a Trekkie, is that there was this character called the Borg, right? What did the Borg say? There we go. Resistance is futile. Now, those of you that know Star Trek know, like, okay, the Borg's trying to take over. He's one of the bad guys. Like, don't even bother fighting back because I'm just going to take you over. But you could almost think of the same way when it comes to the Holy Spirit. That if we resist the Holy Spirit, it will cause a downfall. It is futile to us to resist the Holy Spirit. It will cause spiritual damage and our lives will fall apart into chaos and ruin. Resistance is futile because resistance leads to spiritual death. Resisting the Spirit will cause darkness to consume you from the inside out. This is not what we see in the life of Jesus. We know from a very famous passage in Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2. Let me turn there real quick. It says this about Jesus. And it says this about us as we follow Jesus too. Your attitude should be the same as that as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature with God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name. Jesus, having equality with God, did not say to himself, well, I'm the king, I'm going to do it my way, I'm going to do whatever I want, I'm going to just take it all my way, just like King Saul did. No, he says, your will, Father, not mine. And he submits to the will of the Father and goes to the cross. The Bible has some other warnings about what resisting the Holy Spirit can lead to. Let's look at some of these real quickly. Isaiah chapter 63, verse 10. It says, yet they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he, God, turned and became their enemy, and he himself fought against them. This is in reference to the Israelites. They had rebelled against God, and they were God's people. Because they rebelled against God, God says, well, guess what? I'm going to turn it right back against you, and you're going to feel what it's like. When we resist God, we start to feel a little bit of his wrath. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, it says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. There's this idea being presented here that our flesh is fighting against the Holy Spirit, against God. And that we have to submit our body, submit our flesh and say, I'm going to follow you, God. I'm not going to fight you anymore. I'm going to live by your spirit and not by my flesh. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." This is Paul speaking to Timothy, reminding him, look, man, you've got to keep following Jesus. You've got to keep surrendering to the Holy Spirit. You have to fan it into flame. You cannot let that fire die out. Otherwise, you will be consumed by darkness, and you will resist God, and you will turn from him. You have to keep going. And then in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, it says, "So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert." The Israelites had been rescued from Egypt. God brings them across the Red Sea. They're under Moses' leadership. And when they get into the desert, God gives them the law and says, all right, this is how we're going to do things now. I'm going to make this covenant with you. You need to follow my laws. You need to follow me. And the Israelites are like, nah, let's build a golden calf. Nah, let's not listen to that. Nah, I don't want to do that. We're going to do things our own way. This is what this is in reference to. And so what the Holy Spirit is saying is like, you're going to hear my voice. I'm going to open your eyes. As we sang, open the eyes of my heart. Like, I'm going to do that, but you're going to have to decide whether or not you're going to submit to what I call you to or harden your hearts like the Israelites did in the desert. Don't do that. Don't do that. That leads to being consumed by spiritual darkness from the inside out. So we see what the word is saying here to us today, that we are not meant to resist the Holy Spirit. We are meant to submit to the Holy Spirit. We see this in the life of Jesus. Jesus submitted to God's word and plan. He surrendered to God. Jesus changed the world through his ministry, through his obedience. And because of that, now we have relationship with God, we have relationship with one another, we have a purpose, we are saved from our sins because of Jesus' obedience. But King Saul fought against God, was filled with arrogance, and tried to do things himself. He was filled with fear and anxiety and violence and anger and desperation, and all these things led to his downward spiral. You can imagine it like this. How many of you have ever gone camping? Okay, I once went camping when I was in Bible college with some buddies, and we got to our campsite, and this was in the middle of winter, and so all the wood was covered in snow and saturated with water. And guess what happened when we tried to roast some s'mores and hot dogs? We ain't got no fire. We ain't got no warmth. And we froze that night. And we all said, why did we do this? This is such a bad idea, right? If you try to burn wood that is wet, the wet wood resists the flame. It cannot burn. You might get some smoke, and that will smell terrific, and your lungs will appreciate it, right? No, it doesn't work. You need dry wood. Dry wood does not resist the flame. And so in Scripture, the Holy Spirit is often compared to as a flame, a fire that wants to come and burn and consume, burn away everything of us that is sinful and rotten so that we can be purified and made new. And so when the fire comes and falls on us in this place, as we sing our praises, as we hear from his word, are we being burned up or are we just like a little smoke? Are we resisting or are we submitting? Resisting the Spirit will cause darkness to consume you from the inside out. You have to let the fire have it. You have to let the Holy Spirit come and consume you and burn you. Then you start to burn with passion. Then you start to burn with joy. Then you start to burn with confidence and security. And all of a sudden, you become the kind of follower of Jesus that he desires you to be. The kind of follower of Jesus that we look at and go, man, they've got it good. Man, they're so on fire. Man, I wish I had that life. They've got that life because they are surrendered and submitted to the will of God. They're not resisting. So, for us here today, we can either resist or we can surrender. We can say my way or his way. We can refuse to do the things he calls us to do. Maybe that's to serve somewhere, to give, to volunteer your time, to take a step of faith, and maybe he's calling you to leave your job. Maybe there's a relationship that he's calling you to get out of because it's unhealthy and you need to get out of that. Maybe God is calling you to go be a missionary. Whatever it is, like, God is calling each of us to something, and we're either saying, yes, Lord, or no thanks, my way. Are we resisting or surrendering? So the band's going to come and lead us in a few songs. And as they do, I want to leave you with these steps to take to apply today's message. Number one, you need to look in the Bible for clear directions. If you're wondering, like, God, what is it you expect of me? How am I supposed to be living my life? What are the directions for my life? What is my purpose? You got to go to his word and look for those clear directions. Number two, develop your ability to hear God's voice. You know, there are some of us that our own resistance is causing that, oh, I can't hear God. I never know what he's saying. Like, some of us are wondering, where is God? I never hear from him. Like, he doesn't answer my prayers, and I don't know what's going on. Is there resistance? Is there a resistance that's causing you not to hear his voice? So if you want to develop that ability to hear, you got to stop resisting. You got to start submitting. And when he shows up, when he speaks, when the fire falls down, you got to let him in. You got to give it over to him. You got to say, yes, Lord. There's going to be that knot in your stomach or that anxiety that feels your chest feeling all tighted up. Like, you got to just say, okay, God, yes. I lay it down before you. I submit. I surrender. Because that's the only way you get out of that tension and that tightness. When he asks you to give you something, give him something, you got to give it to him. And you got to go where he leads you. Because if we don't, if we continue to resist, we will be consumed by spiritual darkness, and it will consume us from the inside out.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.